It's a kind of curious twist of events that landed me up here this morning, but I'm thankful to Mr. Albert and the other elders for this opportunity to speak this morning. We sometimes sing a song, Faith of Our Fathers, and that song goes, Faith of Our Fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire and sword, oh how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. In the second verse, our fathers chained in prisons dark, we're still in heart and conscience free, how sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. I want to look at that last phrase this morning. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Let's look at verse 39. This is Jesus talking here. He says, He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So here we see that this is what Jesus told us to do. He said to be willing to lose our life for his sake, and through doing that, we will find it. So we see that how sweet would it be like that we, like them, could die for him. And now let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at Paul's attitude regarding this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that also that love his appearing. So here we see that Paul's attitude was that he was ready to be offered. And then let's look at the persecuted saints' attitude in Revelation chapter 12. Verses 10 and 11 say, And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So here we see that their attitude toward this was that they loved not their lives to the death. They were willing to die for Jesus. And then one more example over in Luke chapter 22. Verse 33. This is the example of Peter when Jesus was in the Mount of Olives and that he was preparing them for his death. This is what Peter said in verse 33. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. So here we see that Peter thought he was ready to even die for Christ's sake. But before we can have the faith that will die for Christ, we need to have the faith that will live for him. This is exactly what is talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we see that we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice to prepare us if we are called to die for him. An excellent example of presenting your body a living sacrifice we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start in verse 23. This is Paul speaking. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So here Paul, he talks about all that he went through for the sake of God. He was presenting his body a living sacrifice. So this morning, let's examine our own faith and see if it's to the point where we'd truly be willing to live for Christ, and if we're truly willing to live for Him, that we would die for Him. The verse that we read over in Luke chapter 22 of Peter, where he said, "Lord, I'm willing to go to prison and to die for you," he thought that his faith was strong enough where he would die for Christ. But we know that we read later that actually his faith wasn't where he actually thought it was. And he needed to grow. His faith needed to grow. So let's look this morning at a few scriptures and see if where we are in our faith and see if we can grow in that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Let's look at verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So here we have a verse that we can ask ourselves two questions. Are we transformed by a renewed mind? Or on the other hand, are we conformed to the world? If we're not willing to be different from the world, are we really ready to live or die for Christ? Now let's look at some areas where we need to be transformed in our lives. First of all, we need to be transformed in our thoughts. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So here we see that if we have a transformed mind, these are what our thoughts should be on all these things that we have just read. Or on the other hand, are we conformed to the world in our thoughts? Let's look at Titus chapter 1. Verse 15, "Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled." So here we see that the mindset of a conformed mind, conformed thought, says their mind and conscience are defiled. So are we transformed in our thoughts or are we conformed? We need to be transformed in our thoughts. Now another area is in our speech. Let's look in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 29. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." So we need to have no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. We need to have our speech transformed. Or is our speech conformed to this world? Let's look at an example in Matthew chapter 26. Start in verse 73. "And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew." Here Peter is standing outside as Jesus is tried, and he is confronted by some of the people there, and they ask him if he was with Jesus. And he even gets to the point where he's cursing and swearing. His speech is conformed to this world. But our speech, if we're Christians, needs to be transformed by a renewed mind. And also let's look at our activities, how our activities need to be transformed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Or another word for that conversation is all manner of living. So we see that we are called to be holy in all manner of living. Or on the other hand, are we being conformed to this world? Look at verse 14 of 1 Peter 1. It says, the second half of that verse says, fashioning yourselves according to the former lust and your ignorance. So we see that we need to be transformed, not conformed. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 now for another faith checkup, if you will. So we've just seen that we need to be transformed in our faith. And now let's look at Ephesians 5, starting in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And then another verse, Colossians chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So here we see some more questions. Are we willing to speak the truth to the believers? Or do we value our relationships with them or our comfort more than their souls? Let's look at some examples of some people who were willing to speak the truth to the unbelievers, no matter what the cost. First example is Joseph, over in Genesis chapter 39. Verses 7 through 9. And it came to pass, after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And then skip down to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. So we see that here Joseph, he was willing to speak the truth to Potiphar's wife, and because of that he lost his job, and he was thrown in prison. He lost his comfort because of his willingness to speak the truth. And now let's look at another example. The example of the prophet Micaiah in 1 Kings chapter 22. Verses 26 and 27. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah, and carry him back into Ammon the governor of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with bread of affliction, and with water of affliction, until I come in peace. So here Micaiah had given Ahab the truth about what would happen if he went into battle, and Ahab got mad, and so he puts Micaiah into prison, and feeds him with the bread of affliction and the water of affliction for being willing to speak the truth. Now, let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 38. Verses 5 and 6. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. So in this example, Jeremiah, he's thrown into a pit, into a dungeon that is full of mire, for his willingness to speak the truth. And then another example over in Revelation chapter 1. This is an example of John. Verse 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So at the end of this verse, it says that he was exiled on an island. The last part says, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John is willing to step up and speak the truth. And for that, he was exiled on this island. And then, one more example of John the Baptist in Mark chapter 6. Start in verse 16. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. So here, Herod had his brother's wife, he was living in sin, and John was willing to speak the truth to him and tell him what he needed to do. And for that he paid the ultimate sacrifice of death. He was beheaded for his willingness. Now there's something else that could hinder us besides the us valuing our relationships with the person we're speaking with or our comfort, and that is the fear of being labeled or branded by the world. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. For the times past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So we see that we might be called strange for our willingness to speak the truth. And then let's look at Acts chapter 24. Verse 5. This is speaking of Paul. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. So here we see that Paul, he was called pestilent for what he was doing. Then also in the second chapter of Acts, we see another example. On the day of Pentecost, when the apostles were when they were speaking in tongues, verse 13, those who were hearing them said, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. So here we see that they were called drunk for what they were saying. And then over a couple chapters in Acts 4, verses 13 and 14. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So here we see that they had just healed a man, but they couldn't explain how they were able to do this. They thought that they were ignorant. So we could be called ignorant. And then there's another example over in Acts chapter 26 when Paul is before Festus. He said, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. So, are we willing to be called these names for speaking the truth? And then there's some more modern terms that we might be called today, intolerant or arrogant or unloving. Do we let the fear of these labels or the fear of losing our comfort keep us from speaking the truth? We need not to. We need to be willing to speak the truth no matter what the cost. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for one more faith checkup. Second Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, Who is he then that maketh me glad, but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you, with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. So we see here three things that Paul is willing to do. First, he was willing to speak the truth to the Corinthians when they were in error. And second, he maintains his confidence in them. In verse 3, said, he has confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. And thirdly, he didn't let the fear of losing his relationship with them stop him. He went ahead and told them what they needed to hear without fear of the consequences. So are we willing to speak the truth to our brethren? Sometimes we find that even harder than speaking to those who are of the world, because we're very afraid of losing our relationship with our brother because we hold them highly in regard and esteem. We might find it very hard to speak what they need to hear because we might be afraid of losing our relationship with them. So let's look at some examples of this. Let's look over in James chapter 5. James 5, starting in verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So we see the value in speaking the truth to our brother. In these verses, it says, we save a soul, and then we hide a multitude of sins. Let's look at some examples of people who are willing to take this action. Over in Acts chapter 8. Starting in verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. So here, Peter was willing to speak the truth to Simon. He was willing to tell him that he was in error, no matter what the cost to him. And then another example, over in Galatians chapter 2. This is an example of Paul when Peter was in error. Starting in verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with a dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So here we see that Paul was willing to step up and tell Peter that he was in error, tell his brother that he was in error, no matter what the cost. So what have we looked at this morning? We looked at three areas. We've asked, are we transformed? Then, are we willing to speak the truth to unbelievers? And finally, are we willing to speak the truth to our brethren? Like Peter, we might think our faith is stronger than it really is, but our faith will only go stronger by living for Him. And when we live for Him, we will, like it said in Jude verse 3, we will earnestly contend for the faith. And like Antipas in Revelation chapter 2, he said it, God's faithful martyr, he was faithful even unto death. So if we're living for Him, we will be willing to be faithful even to the point of death. And then, like we read in Revelation chapter 12, the saints there, they love not their lives even to the death. And then finally, in Acts chapter 5, the apostles, the example of them we will be like them. And they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ's name. But this morning, what if you haven't even begun your walk of faith? This calls for a faith step up. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Verse 32 and 33. Whomsoever then, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So this morning, are you willing to begin your walk of faith? Are you willing to be transformed? And are you willing to become a new creature through baptism? And after that, are you willing to lose your life for Christ if needed, who died for you? So this morning, if you have already begun your walk of faith in the past, but you have found yourself slipping and you need to renew that walk of faith, or if you haven't even begun your walk of faith this morning, that calls for a faith step up. We can help you in any way this morning in your walk of faith. Please come as we stand and sing.